Hi, this is Paul. I don't want this to be a very long video, but we have to talk about, and you're going to talk about, and it has been talked about, this concluding moment on EWTN with Colm Flynn. And of course, this is in some ways the answer that the clarity, I'll say it that way, the clarity that people have been hungering for, sort of. So let's play it. And we should note that if you go to the other big interview he had with him just a month ago, Jordan Peterson on his wife's incredible cancer, I mean, almost the same thing played out there. So let's play this one.
Well, this is why Christ says that unless we become as little children, we'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And I can see that happening to Tammy. And so it's great. It's great. It's ridiculously good.
But when you see how ridiculously good it is, what is stopping you from embracing the faith of your wife?
You mean all those pesky Catholics?
That part they didn't put in the clip. They didn't put in the header. Just watch Peterson's face. I mean, it's a joke and it's well meant and it's all of that, but it's not just a joke.
I don't know if anything is stopping me.
What's holding you back?
I don't think anything's holding me back. Everybody's got their own destiny. And so,
is it in yours?
Is it in mine? I would say it's unlikely. But
why do you say unlikely?
I exist on the borders of things. So why is that? I don't know, but that's how it is. So
when we interviewed Tammy yesterday and I asked her, how is she feeling the day before?
Now, I exist on the borders of things. My biblical analogy for Jordan Peterson has long been the unauthorized exorcist of Mark 9. The unauthorized exorcist of Mark 9 is someone casting out demons in Jesus' name, and the disciples get all huffy because he's not one of their party, and Jesus says, leave him alone. And so, of course, this launched somebody on Twitter, Drago Dimitrov, has a big thing about existing on the borders of things. I feel compelled to comment on Jordan's statement. Desire for control, fear of being misrepresented, fear of being deceived, disordered attachment to curiosity. That was, I thought, the interesting one, which led to a food truck. Emily retweets that, and then Nate has an interesting post, which will not necessarily satisfy everyone I know. The part of the post that I liked the best was, he belongs to a Christian form that is still coming to be. Now, I don't know about that, but it's an interesting thing. And Nate is also the guy who's talked about a religion that's not a religion. I probably, along with Nate, see the church continuing to change as world history moves forward. I've been listening to The Rest is History, Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook's treatment of Martin Luther, and you can't help but see how dramatically different the Roman Catholic Church is today than it was in Germany in the 16th century. And as many fine historians who have looked at Luther and looked at many other things have noted, that how the church was in Germany wasn't necessarily exactly how the church was in Italy or France or Spain. And then, of course, the church would come to America. And just today, you can notice that the church in America is not like the church in France, is not like the church in Italy, is not like the church in Latin America, although there's commonalities between. It's an enormously complex thing. Now, when I was queuing up, this new one, somebody had clipped the old one, and the clip of the old one, after watching the new one, sort of is interesting to put kind of back to back.
First, though,
are we not inviting people to do that enough now? When we look at the Catholic Church and its decline in recent years, less young people going, less people signing up for a religious life, and since, you could say, the 60s.
Well, if it's all guitar and hippies, who the hell cares?
But since Vatican II, let's say, in the 60s, the church has been aiming to be more relevant, more welcoming. So it's, what's the
that's
problem?
Not working. It's not shallow, obviously. Shallow and contemptible. You know, it's supposed to be an invitation to the great adventure of life. What's the great adventure of life? Pick up your cross and follow me. Like, that's a hell of an invitation, but that's the invitation. And the church lost faith in that. We have to be relevant.
Now, Peterson, of course, will, if you talk to him, I was just listening to his Michael Schellenberger, the Daily Wire exclusive part, which was really quite interesting. But Peterson very much sees what he's doing on the borders as having accepted the invitation to the adventure of life. And I would say very much regularly casts the hero's journey as part of this.
Well, what's more relevant than that? As soon as you say that you need to be more relevant than that, what you're doing technically is putting something else above that. Well, that's not going to work, not if the original proposition was correct. And
I remember the original proposition is, you know, take up your cross and follow me, constructed as hero's journey. And again, in the Michael Schellenberger Daily Wire Plus exclusive, he goes into that. But, you know, I just mentioned that because I just watched it. You can find plenty of stuff on open YouTube with Jordan talking about that.
Obviously, the original proposition is correct. You might say, well, why obviously? Okay, well, Christ faced and triumphed over death and hell. And you might say, well, why is that relevant? And the answer is, because that's what you have to do. Right, and everyone, you're stuck with it.
So is the Catholic Church not challenging people enough?
Definitely not, not enough, not by any stretch of the imagination. The gateway to paradise is barred by the cherubs who have swords that flame and turn every which way. Well, what does that mean? It means it's hard to get into the club, man. Anything that isn't worthy gets cut and burned away. Well, of course, that's hell, especially if you resist it. Really.
Now, take this on a matrix. This is why Peterson is interestingly complex, because take what he says and sort of cast it on a traditional theological matrix, and you could say, well, is it Pelagian? I've often said of him, he's got an Augustinian anthropology and a Pelagian soteriology, and that sort of comes through. But what he says there, I mean, the question is, okay, is it the job? Well, let's back up a little bit.
Well, of course, maimed.
People
definitely not enough, not by any stretch of the imagination. The gateway to paradise is barred by the church. To do, say, Christ faced and triumphed over death and hell. And you might say, well, why is that relevant? And the answer is, because that's what you have to do.
So, historically, when it comes to, let's say, soteriology, which is a study of salvation, or you could say atonement theories, this is Christ as model. And there's a super long history of conversations with respect to this. And Christ is what happens with a lot of these atonement themes and salvation themes is that there's sort of an interplay between the models. They don't all go away. Christ remains a model, but Christ is always also a savior. Okay, but what kind of savior? How does he do the saving, and what does that look like? And, you know, the shape of Peterson's faith, I think he's been making fairly clear for a fairly long time, and he's been remarkably consistent. And now, of course, everyone will kind of put their own theological ruler up to Jordan and say, well, he's right on this and he's deficient in that. And certainly I've done it on occasion too. But the truth is, and this is where we have a Protestantism that is inescapable, which is that, well, everyone needs to, everyone will stand before God and be judged by God with respect to what they've done with what's been given to them. And there's a little narrative that you can see. And so Jordan is pretty confident in his narrative. The question then is, okay, well, what is the church for? Is the church there to challenge people to accept their hero's journey and pick up their cross and follow it? Or is the church to help those who are already carrying it? Or, and again, there's an entire matrix of theology and theological options that churches have played with in all sorts of nuance and complexity for 2,000 years with respect to these questions.
Right, and everyone, you're stuck with it.
So is the Catholic Church not challenging people enough?
Definitely
now?
Not enough, not by any stretch of the imagination. The gateway to paradise is barred by the cherubs who have swords that flame and turn every which way. Well, what does that mean? It means it's hard to get into the club, man.
Right there. It's hard to get into the club, man.
Anything that isn't worthy gets cut and burned away. Well,
purgatory. You know, if you watch Leaf, if you read Leaf by Niggle, there's this interesting portion of Leaf by Niggle where Niggle is in purgatory. And of course, you know, with the rest is history, with them going through Luther, purgatory comes up. And so it's a very interesting, not unprecedented, not unique, but an interesting, not quite sure, take on Christianity, I'll say it that way, that Jordan embraces. And see, this is where a lot of these categories are interesting, because it's obviously deeply individualistic, but what is, and he's never really developed this, because again, he's stood on the borders. Okay, what is the role of the church in, so he's got an anthropology, he's got a soteriology that he speaks about fairly plainly here, but what is really lacking is an ecclesiology. What is it? I'm using these big words. I shouldn't use them. A theology of the church. What is the role of the church? What is the mission of the church? And as Common Toad on YouTube said, I've done a conversation with him, you know, Jordan's not going to jump into this until he, you know, until he basically has a reason to do this. And again, I think this is part of, he sort of has an anthropology, who is man, he sort of has a salvation scheme, and he just laid it out, but the church, and he's completely supportive of his wife, he's super happy, it's great, couldn't be happier, he sees the church as being helpful for her in terms of becoming more fully human, of becoming who she is, but he stands on the borders, doesn't know why, and okay, got his anthropology, Got a soteriology's ideas of what salvation is. Ecclesiology, I don't know that, again, and this is how in many ways he's deeply Protestant, as nearly everyone is these days in the West, especially in the West. He's deeply Protestant. And even those who are calling, you almost can't call for him to make an individual decision to join the Catholic Church or to choose the Catholic Church as one option among many without basically being a Protestant.
Of course, that's hell, especially if you resist it. Really. And there's no sugarcoating that, and that isn't what people want anyways. Young people want an adventure. Why the hell do you think they're so concerned with saving the planet, which Pope Francis seems to be on about constantly, when he should be saving souls? That's how you save the planet, not by worshiping Gaia.
Do you think Pope Francis puts the emphasis on the...
Now, the saving souls question is interesting because, of course, a saved soul is, at least within this small thing, and he's got a far broader theology, saving souls is embracing your hero's journey to carry that cross up the hill. If you go back to his conversation with David Fuller, in which after David Fuller had been here to Sacramento and said, well, Paul Vander Clay, you know, he kept talking about drag it up the hill. Well, what's at the top of the hill? Because I hadn't heard him say exactly what's at the top. Well, the kingdom of God. It's the gold that you get from the dragon. It's the pearl of great price. I mean, and you can use a lot of things for this, but a lot of metaphors. So you can use a lot of biblical text for this. But this is, again, just listening to him carefully. I'm trying to be as fair and as clear about what he really believes. And hence, by the virtue of what he really believes, he is going to act according to his principles. And I think that's what we see. And now, what's his name again? Colm. It must be in here somewhere. Colm Flynn. Colm Flynn. Just followed him on Twitter. See if something happens. And he's not going to give up.
The wrong places sometimes.
Well, I gave you that example. I don't see, for the life of me, what the Catholic Church has to do with climate crisis. Just the formulation is wrong. The priority.
Again, what does the Catholic Church have to do with climate crisis? There's many Catholics out there that are going to say, oh, and yes, and there's many Protestants and others who are going to talk about it. But soul saving, well, that's a fairly Protestant formulation of the problem, and it's a fairly Protestant ecclesiology.
Is wrong. You save the world one person at a time. It lacks faith in
very Protestant ecclesiology.
Its own mission.
Let me ask you finally, Tammy, with her deepened faith, has felt this tug towards the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, let's say, Catholicism.
Now, it was so interesting when he's making his appeal there, because Catholic Church, well, how about Catholic faith? Well, okay, are those the same? I would say no. Most Protestants will say they're part of the, when you recite the Apostles' Creed, you have small c Catholic, Catholic Church, Catholic, and then you see just this infiltration of the 16th century and the power of thinking that will be at the spearhead of Protestantism that will pervade everything, and of course becomes a big part of the fight within the church.
I know your church, with her deepened faith, has felt this tug towards the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, let's say, Catholicism. I know your studies in the Old Testament, those lecture series that you did, phenomenally successful, your conversations with Bishop Barron and other people within the Catholic Church. Does any part of you feel a tug as well?
Please, 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 and if it might happen, may it happen right here, right now, every eye closed. We've got the altar call, and they really have an altar.
Towards the Catholic Church?
Towards the Catholic faith.
There's plenty of things the Catholic faith got right. So is there a tug towards it? There's an appreciation for it. So
he listened to his mom. If you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. So he said something nice.
Everybody has their own path. Tammy's on hers. I'm on mine.
Jared Peterson, thank you very much.
Again, now go back to the other.
I exist on the borders of things. So, why is that? I don't know, but that's how it is. So,
when we interviewed Tammy yesterday and I asked her, how is she feeling the day?
Fascinating. Sometimes we have nice things. Yeah. We'll see what comes. Leave a comment. You've all got opinions on this. I know you do. And go ahead and leave them. But, you know, again, I'm a Protestant. We stand before God and we'll give an account according to what we've done with what we've been given. And we'll see what comes.